Okay, so the question is, so we're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So a question was just asked about that passage right there. And for the sake of the tape, the question is, and make sure I'm stating the question properly, please. So if a person has a serious desire, a sincere desire is a better word, sincere desire, but they're lost, right? We're talking about a lost person. But they have a sincere desire to A, study the Word, and B, be saved. Then if they go to a Bible study, how is that person, how is the God of this world binding them? Is that the question?
If that person is goes to a Bible study sincerely, I mean to...
Right.
Maybe because sometimes you go to church and you think that you're saved, but yet there's old scripture that says about blindness and stuff like that. And so that was my reason for going to Carlos, is that I didn't want to be deceived. So I went there thinking I was already saved, but in actuality I truly wasn't. So I was going there to find the truth. Mm-hmm. But anyways,
yeah,
I got saved. But so that's my question. Somebody goes to find the truth at a Bible study, or, you know.
To edify yourself.
I want to throw one thing on top of that. I would say most of us, our testimony would be very similar to that.
Yeah.
We thought we were saved when we walked into that study.
Right.
I certainly speak for myself. For a year I studied under Brother Jerry Lockhart and Brother E.C. Moore. Every single week, both of them, for that matter, Brother Dusty Rhodes, another great grace preacher in Mobile. I had all three of them every single week for a year.
And then so thought I was saved. Why were you blind?
The God of this world hath blinded, still blinded, and hath blind. Let me go back there. Hath blinded what? Hath blinded the minds of them. How does he do that? What's one of the best tools he has to blind your mind? Starts with P, then goes R, I, D, E, pride. I speak for myself now. Absolutely, especially when I realized I was lost.
It's always a form of it.
Exactly. Some people I've heard preach that every sin, pride is involved at some point in every sin you ever commit. I don't know that I can refute that. I don't know that I could say this, the scriptures 100% says that. Sounds good. Anyway, I've heard that preach. I'll leave it at that. However, so let's come back to it. At some point, so if we're lost, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of God should shine unto them. Okay? Now, so how does that happen? So first of all, what study you go to is going to make a big difference. Let me start there. I'm going to stay in 2 Corinthians and go to chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Remembering that 2 Corinthians is the last of Paul's Acts epistles, the last book that he wrote during the book of Acts. And Paul clearly, the doctrine that he teaches in 2 Corinthians, you can see that the grace message is about to come. He's preparing this group, and therefore the rest of us, for the prison epistle doctrine. The slight differences. Okay? It's still the same gospel for salvation. And he says in 2 Corinthians 11:3, so here we are near the end of the last book he wrote during the book of Acts. And he's warning the people in verse 3. He says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." We talked earlier about the simplicity in Christ, right? Also, now here he's even talking to saved people, anybody that he's writing to, is a saved person in the book of Corinthians, even them, he's worried about their minds being corrupted. So it's continual warfare. How would this happen here? By, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. How did he do that? The serpent beguiled Eve, Genesis chapter 3, go back there and watch. He attacked the Word of God. He changed the Word of God. I mean, literally, the words that God spoke to Adam, the serpent came right back to Eve and said, yay, hath God said, and he misquoted what God said. He added some things. He left out a word. He changed some things. Okay? Not real abrupt things. It wasn't, well, God said that cherry is black, and I'm telling you it's white. No, that would have been a definite difference. He just added a subtle little word. It hardly changed the meaning at all. Just a little bit. But he changed the Word of God. That's how he did it back there in Genesis 3. And Paul says, I fear, as it was there, so it will be here. And I, again, as I would subscribe to you, the other perversions of the Word of God, that's exactly what they do. That's how Satan is corrupting our minds, the people's minds that are reading. In many ways, they're innocent in this. But it's how Satan is corrupting their minds, how he's keeping the gospel from them. And I'm taking a long time to answer your question, but I want to use scriptures. In addition to the Word of God, Satan attacking it. So if I go to a study where somebody, they're using many versions or the wrong versions, anything other than King James Word of God, anything other than the King James Bible, then they may hear a corrupted gospel. Where we have two gospels in one verse, every other version in the world makes it one gospel, and it isn't the gospel of Christ. It's the kingdom gospel. So they can't hear the right gospel for salvation. Let's keep reading here. The second thing is the teacher in that class. So one is the book they use. The second is the teacher of that class. Verse 13.
Where are we? 11:13.
2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles. Okay, now right away all of us are thinking false apostles. Wow, these are guys that woke up one day and said, boy, I want my mission in life to be to deceive the religious world, to deceive the people that want to, have a desire to go learn about God. They believe there's a heaven and hell, and they want to go learn the right way to go to heaven. No, I don't believe that's what false... We're going to define false... He's going to define false apostles here. But when we see that phrase, at least that's how I always used to think about it. You know, guys that had two horns almost, and they just went out to mislead people. No, they're there thinking they're doing the right thing. They think they're teaching things correctly, as it says after this. Verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. That word transformed in there is just a key verse, transformed, totally changed, totally formed. You know, it was formed this way. We're going to form it over here.
Make it look like.
Exactly. You know, there's the movie Transformers, right? I mean, they start out as little cars or big cars, fancy cars, and they get transformed. They get changed into this big monster-looking thing, whatever. I guess they started out as these big monster-looking things. They transformed themselves into cars here so that they look like something different. It looks appealing to the eye. Matter of fact, what kind of car for the kid is it? You know, was it a Charger? Dodge Charger. Anyway, it was brand spanking new. It was a hot rod car. I mean, Mike would have been happy driving that car. Even the color that Mike would have like, all right? I mean, it was hot yellow, man. It was... Nobody's seen Transformers. Well, anyway, I'm talking about the one from 20 years ago or whenever they first came out. The first one. then it's okay. So that's something we would like. We wouldn't have a problem going over and getting next to that one. So it is here. So the teachers, and I always go to the guy in Houston, standing there where the Houston Rockets used to play, and he's got 20,000 people physically in front of him, and who knows how many hundreds of thousands sitting in front of a television watching him every single Sunday, preaching the prosperity doctrine, the feel-good doctrine. You know, do this, and man, you can be rich, Pete. Don't you want to know how to be wealthy and prosperous? Just ask God, just pray hard enough, just give enough in this plate down here. By the way, you see the news where they had $600,000 stolen from them Sunday night? I think it's a month or two ago now. But somebody broke in, and you know, they claimed it was $600,000 in cash that somebody took from that church. So we're done here. I'm opening up the new thing.
So the people that go to not this kind of this worldly religion, but somebody that goes to went to Jerry's church, hypothetically, it goes there all the time, but they're not saved.
They're yearning to learn.
Yeah.
They're yearning
so
to
Satan
learn.
Blinds them.
They will always try.
Yeah. They're not being fed the wrong thing. They're being fed the right gospel.
Yeah.
In this time, how is that person? Why?
And I'm thank you. So I'm going a little too slow for you, because I want to start with the word. I want to start with the teacher. Now, let's go to somebody that does go to. I'll say study like this, that has the right words and a teacher that's teaching the word rightly divided, the right gospel of Christ without adding anything to it, or, the gospel of Christ. If you just believe that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and raised again for your justification, believe in that and that alone for your salvation, you'll be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay? Clear gospel, you believe it, you trust in it, you're saved, you're sealed until the day of redemption. But a person can still be saved there, or can still be lost there. And now we're to that part of the question. All right. So, Satan's working on them the whole time. I'll use myself, okay, just because I know that guy pretty well, and I know the thoughts that were going through his head and through his mind. And the first 4 weeks, I didn't understand. I remember it was about week four. I said, Jerry, you keep using this term, right division. What do you mean? He showed a few things. I wish Andrew was here, right division 101. It's like, wow, that makes all the sense in the world. And now my mind could get puffed up. Well, I understand this grace message now. And I got lost in that for a while, just knowing these things. Not even addressing the salvation part. I really believe the first night, it was a year plus later, probably right at a year after I first met Jerry's, when I heard Lost Believers' message. All three men that night, July 5th, 1983.
But you felt you had already...
I never thought about the fact that I hadn't. I just assumed I was saved because I grew up in a church and I tried to do the right things. I kind of forgot about 4 or 5 years there where all hell broke loose. Well, that didn't count, you know. I understood that we had eternal security. And so it was easy to go back there, pride, to go back, when I say there, 16, 17, never thinking about what I trusted in for salvation, just, hey, I'm studying the Word, I'm saved. Three men preached that night, Lost Believers. When did you get lost? When did you realize that you were lost? I had never realized that I was lost, never in my life. Hadn't thought about that. And that's how Satan had blinded my mind, thinking, I never would have told you that I was saved by the works I did or didn't do. It was strictly believing in the gospel. But I had never gotten lost, and based on being lost, trusted in the gospel of Christ, that and that alone. And give me 1 second, because I'm going to address the way you asked the question there. Other parts of that, the people there, the right message is being taught. Then, the next 4 months or 5 months, so that was the first month of learning this. Okay, now I know this. But then the next 4 or 5 months, I remember having this argument with Kim so many times. And now when you get like 3 or 4 months later into this, we're engaged. And I remember even being engaged. And, you know, Kim, Jerry jumps on churches so much. You know, just come on to this Methodist church with me one time. Come on. Well, we go one time, and of course they baptized the baby, then later on in the thing, water baptism I'm talking about. And then they had 2 adults come down at the end. They did the Lord's Supper in the middle, and it was like, okay, I'm dead in this one. Then it was this Baptist, well, come on, let's just go to this Baptist church one time. And same thing, you know, it was like wham, bam. It's like, man, thank you, Lord, really seeing these. But I just kept feeling it. Jerry and Brother Moore, for that matter, too, they're attacking religion maybe a little bit too hard.
How could they all be wrong? How could the world?
Yeah, how can they all be wrong? Exactly. That's a great way to look at it. And once again, so here again, Satan, why does Paul in all these books talk about it's the religious things more so than the, quote, things that the religious people call bad today. It's more the religious things that Paul's warning us in the scriptures about, because people can get wrapped up in religion and can be hid in religion. Satan can absolutely use religion, just as in 2 Corinthians 11, 13, 14, and 15. What is he using there? It's religion to blind the minds of people. You know, people go, and that can include coming and hearing the right message and read. I believe King James, absolutely, and man, I'm all wrapped up in the grace movement, and that can become a religion in and of itself.
Well, also, we can the start churches out there today block or blind, intentional or otherwise, that simplicity. Mm-hmm. And yeah, because the kingdom of heaven message is out there so heavily, you get fogged and confused, and how can everybody be wrong, and all these things, and that's that subtlety of Satan.
And so, yes, absolutely. And let's take that, now let's get into the grace message, and let's look at something new that's happening, and I'm going to say in the last 2 years, in the grace message. You see Satan and his army of angels getting right into the grace movement in the same way. We've got all these new little branches of doctrine. It's all tied to Paul. But I talked to Kevin Kress. I can't remember if I shared this with you or not. But he's now the heretic of all heretics. Did I share this with you last week?
Well, you mentioned something about it.
And there's this one guy now that none of us have ever heard of before. But it's like his mission in life. He talks about Paul. Man, Oh, you got nailed by it. Don't say his name, all right? Don't
name
give him
of,
any credit.
Give his purchase name. Of.
But I don't want anybody even going there. Because I've tried to listen to it anyway. The point is, the grace movement is being attacked in these same ways. And even some teachers that for 20 years have taught, I would say, the way Brother Moore would teach, that now have maybe started following a little bit, some little factions over here. And now we have a guy that's even preached in Brother Jerry's church from time to time, and maybe a little east of there in the Grace Church. I have yet to hear him say something that I would totally disagree with, but I've heard it said of him that you have to understand 2 Corinthians 5 to be saved. No, the simplicity of Christ, the gospel of Christ, is all you have to know. But if people start adding little things like this, even in Grace studies with the King James Bible, people's minds can be blinded. And I would suggest that Satan is using those teachings to do that.
Can I interject into that?
Or
can
go
I
make ahead, a, and then I'll come
make
over
a,
here.
Make a suggestion, yeah, anyway, towards her question. I would suggest, when did the blinding start for that individual, or let's say mankind? When did that blinding start?
When you first yearned.
When Eve came around.
So you've got the person that's going to the Bible study that's a believer. They're a believer. They're going to the Bible study, so they're a believer. They're reading the Bible. But when did the blinding start for that person?
I would say the blinding's always been there. It has to be. It's not removed until the moment of salvation.
Okay, so when did it start?
For them, the moment of birth.
Okay, and when did it originate, the blinding?
Yeah, so Genesis chapter 3.
Adam and Eve.
As the serpent beguiled Eve.
So the person, this blinding has been going on. We're in it. We're living it.
I know, but so here's a good one too, Mike. If the Lord knows you're going to be saved, why would he let Satan deceive your mind? I guess it goes back to time and change.
Why would he let?
I mean, if he knows you're going to be saved.
You should have been with Pete and myself last night.
But it's a free gift. But the thing is, he knows it. He doesn't cause it.
But he knows. That's the difference. Okay, yeah. George is going to get saved. He'll get saved this day.
Yeah,
so
I know
he knows that.
Yes.
The Lord knows that.
He knows. In a sense, he's got the game film, and he knows what day in that game film George is going to get saved.
Amen.
Right. Why would he let Satan play with him?
So why would he let Satan? Because it is a free gift. It is called the course of this world. And even though he knows which fork at this road George is going to take, it's still George's free will. When he gets to that fork in the road, back there January 2nd of 1992, George had to, he came to a fork in the road, and he could go to the right or to the left fork in that road, and going to the right fork would maybe lead him here to there to this Bible study with a guy named Brother Jerry Lockhart. Or wherever he got saved, whatever his testimony is. And whereas, if he went to the left, okay, he may have ended up over here and ended up in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Maybe that road, he wouldn't have met Jerry. This Jerry, you Jerry. But he would have ended up in Chattanooga and got saved under the ministry of Steve Atwood. You know, the point is he can use either way, but it's his decision when he gets to that fork. Yes, God the Father, being all-knowing, knows which one he's going to take. He doesn't cause it. That's the difference, though, of those that believe, like, the predestination thing, the Calvinists. It's like, well, he causes George to go to the right, and he causes George to meet you one day, whatever, in whatever circumstances. And he causes George to believe on this day and accept on that day. No, he knows that George will. He doesn't cause it.
So the time and chance piece, that speaks to the Lord not intervening?
Yeah.
And so
it's free gift. Romans right? 5 or 6. Romans yeah. 6. Go to Romans chapter 6.
But you know, while we're going there, interestingly enough, my opportunity to go to Hawaii was a real nip and tuck.
Sure.
I mean, you know, unbeknownst to me, I was really not wanting to go and really wanting to go, and I salivated on that for a good long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, ultimately, it was in my mind, again, flash, it was, I got to get out of Houston. It's bad news for me.
Yeah.
And that's what made me, you know, make the decision. But there was 100 other things that were going on. It was like, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we can all go back in our lives, you know, what if.
Yeah.
You know, and we can't change the what if, so you know, be careful with that.
And then one more point to that. There's 100 times, and everybody in this room can say it, there's several times during your life where maybe you just should have been dead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I can vividly remember a lot of them.
For sure.
And, you know, just a hair split one direction or another, and it would have come to be.
Yes.
But because, why? A time and chance again, and then, again, not causing but knowing, that pathway, I missed it by that slight hair, and I continued my journey through the pits of hell because I'm in the flesh, but ultimately, that winding trail led me to, really, I got saved before right division, but right division was really the clarity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, start Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How does each one of us have peace when we go to sleep at night and not worry about, am I going to wake up the next morning? Or if I don't wake up the next morning, where am I going to spend eternity? When we know we're justified by faith, that's when we get that peace with God. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Now, coming down, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now, underline that word now, put it in yellow, now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Totally contrary to Peter in Acts 3:19, when ye shall receive the atonement at the second coming of Christ, if you hold out to the end. Totally different. Paul says, you have it now. Underline that. Now, coming down, verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Hey, you've got free gift all over the place here. It's a free gift. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace are, not will be saved, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I want to stop right there. First of all, if we come close to answering your question.
Yes. Yes.
Great, because here's what I want to add once we've got the question answered.
Okay.
Romans 5:1 again. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I've shared with you so many times at Barry Hampton, how many times I've been to a restaurant with him, and he'll ask anybody sitting at the table next to us, the waitress waiting on us, or waiter waiting on us, if you died tonight, where would you go, and why would you go there? And okay, you know, you've heard me say this. You probably heard me say everything I'm about to say. But I want to put reality into it one more time. Because there's a funeral today. It's for a young couple in their 30s. And they had a 40-year-old and a 7-year-old. And they're just moseying down the street, just like any other of us have ever done and will do today. 40-year-old, 7-year-old, their whole life ahead of them until somebody hits them head-on the other way, all four of them, dead on contact. That's why Pete and Jamie are here today to attend that funeral. The niece of her aunt. I mean, this is real, gang. You know, it's always somebody else. No, it's real. And every day that happens. There's just about 10 people a day just in the state of Texas that die in a car accident. Let alone those that survive a car accident and what else, you know, may happen in their life. You know, just run those numbers. I mean, it's like 9 point something to be exact. Every single day, for the last 3 years anyway, that's been the number. We don't know. Therefore, that's why every time, as Brother Moore said to Brother Jerry Lockhart, did you preach the gospel? And it doesn't mean you think somebody's out there lost. You don't know. But they may hear it a different way. And they may get lost because they may think that they're saved. Just like this guy for a year. I fooled myself for a year because I knew this was the King James Bible's Word of God. And I knew right the vision. But I got lost one night because three men showed me that I was lost. I didn't know it until that night. The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 7 when he's... Acts chapter 8. And Philip comes... You know, the Spirit of the Lord, the angel of the Lord goes to Philip and says, go to that Ethiopian eunuch. He's there reading. Jerry, much like the person we're talking about today. He's reading the book of Isaiah. That Ethiopian eunuch. He wants to learn about God. And Philip runs up to him and says, understandest thou what thou readest? And he says, how can I except some man guide me? It takes somebody else to guide them. even to guide them to being walks. As Brother Steve Atwood and Brother E.C. Moore and my brother-in-law A.J. Krause all did, the three preachers that night, because they asked, when did you get lost? When did you see yourself as a lost sinner? And based on that, ask the Lord to save you. He already paid the penalty 2,000 years ago, but there is a day when you realize, I don't have a day of salvation. I don't have a moment in my past where I got lost. That's the difference.
Though yes. you were lost. Though
absolutely.
You were lost. So there's that blinding that she's talking about.
Yeah. I didn't know I was lost. I was blinded.
And the thing about that is, you know, Pete and I were talking about this last night. What's not really mentioned a lot are those principalities and powers in high places that fell, and that God is going to make this judgment upon in a righteous way that's going to cause those guys to bow their knee and confess the Lord Jesus is Christ. And what gets put out of the picture a lot is that, I think, is that we walk around and we don't see those principalities. We don't see those angels. We don't see all that stuff that caused this whole fall. Which God, that's the reason that God has let this go. That's why he gave us this free will. It's because those were created beings, just like we're created beings, and God is going to judge them in the same sense that he's going to judge humankind also. So it's this parallel between us and them that are going. And the thing is there's going to be man that's going to say, I mean, God's going to look at man and he's going to say, look, that is a human being. And I'm judging him because he trusts my word. Now look at you, angel. You didn't trust my word. You forsook it. And guess what you're going to get? Hail. Hades. Permanent. And so what takes place there is that parallel between the two dimensions that we tend to forget about. Because we're walking around on this earth. And it's hard to sometimes picture that whole thing. But that's the real... Look at God's whole purpose. It's to defeat the works of Satan. And that is that's the deal.
The eternal purpose of God is to destroy the works of the devil. Any other questions? Thank you for that question. Yes, sir.
Just
like a follow-up to that question.
Yeah, no questions. I just want to comment on the question.
The question, which is what?
So, our gospel being hid, you know, to those that are lost, and Satan blinding the minds to those that are lost. You know, once we get past that first point of going to the place where the right word is being taught, the right gospel is being taught, once we get past that, you know, and you leave up out of here, Satan can still blind the eyes to that person. We mentioned pride, and we could use a million examples for that. But also doubt.
Fear.
You know, because is that simplicity really that simple? Is
yes.
that free gift
yes.
really free? Do I not have to do nothing? Surely I have to do something. I mean, we could go on and on. But you have to get to the right place and hear the right King James. You got to hear the right gospel of Christ. It's got to be taught. I mean, you have to get to that point. Yeah. Or Satan can use false apostles, perversions, wrong gospels. I mean, you know, there's all those avenues he can use to keep somebody
in bondage.
Yeah.
Television ministry.
Yeah. But once you get to the right place and hear those things, he can still blind and, you know, hide that, you know, gospel, if you will. Just, you know. Like
even
I
after
say,
you've heard it and heard
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Until you trust it.
Whether, hey, surely I'm already saved, or surely I don't have to. You know, and it's pride, and it's doubt, and it's everything else he can use. And, you know, it's, I don't know, just want to say.
And that was well stated. Thank you.
Sure. I think one of the most powerful tools he uses is the one that says, hey, you're okay. You haven't killed nobody, you haven't stolen nothing, you haven't been.
You absolutely use that one too.
You know, and the person or us, we get into that comfortable situation where, hey, I'm okay. There's nothing really, I haven't done anything that's worthy of.
Each one of us has different strengths, each one of us has different weaknesses. And I believe that Satan and his course of and his army of angels there know exactly what your strength and weakness is, and what he uses for you is different than what he uses for you is different than what he uses for me. Okay? Because how can I get you? How can I get you? You know, one thing works. Some people, the carrot works better. Some people, the stick works better. You use what works best on them, not what you like to use, right?
Right.
But anyway, 3 minutes until 12, so we're doing good here. And there are some people, by the way, that have some things. Anyway, we're going to be stopping at 12 also on the spot. I just want to come back to the kind of a combination of this thing about, boom, and you said all of us. I'll just give you two examples. I know I shared one with you, Kim and I coming back from Houston just a couple months ago. We got on 290, and it's two lanes this way, two lanes coming at us, and we had just gone by, to this day, the most number of emergency vehicles at an accident I've ever seen in my lifetime. I mean, that whole sky was lit up. So this is 10 o'clock at night. We just gotten on 290 where it hits 1488, so outside of Houston, northwest of Houston. And we go another 2 minutes, and the guy just goes across in front of us, and pretty close one. Another 3 minutes, and we're both looking, and Kim's driving at the time. I'm trying to rest a little bit so I can finish the drive later on. And we both see these headlights coming at us, and it's like, this just neither one of us is saying anything. And Bradley said, Kim, I think I'd stay on the right. Sure enough, this guy's coming at us 70 miles an hour on our two lanes, you know, should have been on those two lanes going that way. He's on the passing lane on our side of 290. You just go, holy smokes, after that, and now this, we should find the first
hotel
and, you know, get out of here. So, you know, that's one of those times where you could have just been bebopping along, and you just assume that car lights look like they're coming at you. And I'll give you one more of this. So, our oldest daughter's 27, was just here. When she was 3 months old, we flew up to Washington, D.C., the one that, I think it's Dulles, whichever of the D.C. airports has like its own interstate coming into it almost. And so my parents meet us to meet their first grandchild, and, you know, rah, it's a big reunion at the airport. And we get in the car to go to my parents. And we're driving, so it's two lanes, there's three lanes this way and three lanes that way. And we're just, you know, hey, yeah, it's great, Mike's great, yeah, here's you, and, you know, you're just talking like you would be when you're just sitting here. And all of a sudden, my dad wheels over like this, and here's a guy, had to be going 100 miles an hour down our side of the three lanes, and here's all the cop cars coming after him in this case. But you just think, you know, there's a car there, there ain't no getting over. Those things happen. And, of course, that's someone else going the wrong way and stuff. I don't even know the details of this one. It doesn't matter. The point is, it was head-on, all four of them, instant.
You said that the picture that was on the Internet, the whole body of the car came off the frame. The frame was the only thing left on the highway.
Wow.
How fast the other car was going.
So that is why we say, examine yourselves, all right, whether you be in the faith or not. You know, when... Not only when did you get saved, more importantly, when did you get lost? When did you see yourself as a lost sinner doomed for hell, realizing you never had to have a day of salvation? Hey, thanks for being here today. Enjoy the rest of the day. I did go 1 minute over. Well,